you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
Hey guys, we back at it again. Welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions without the accent. I'm your girl, Vandy V, aka Pet the Stallion, aka Debt Bitch, aka Full Court Pumps, aka Pagan Baskins. A.K.A. No, Peggy Markle, my bad. Carol Baskins, Mandy Baskins. God damn it, I don't do my fucking A.K.A.'s enough.
Not
shit.
The killers.
Shit.
I'm
oh,
easy.
Yeah, this pussy killer, bitch.
No murderess. No pegger. You know, it was a time or two in my life, and I realized it didn't work out for me.
And we are joined today by another duo podcast, Both Sides of the Bed. Amir and Basira, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So excited. I actually met them when I was high on edibles, and they're like, yeah, y'all know Maj, right? Yeah,
where'd you guys meet at?
Fort Greene Park, yeah. Where everybody meet in the summertime.
Soul Summit?
Yeah, we were working, though.
What were you guys doing?
We were interviewing. So in the beginning of all our episodes, we go and speak to the people.
Word on the street things. Type shit.
Yeah.
Cute.
So we had the mic and everything. We ran up
some
on her.
Some people have it, some don't.
Yeah.
Like, I watched one of this really, really cute girl. And that was really why I clicked on it, because she was sexy. And she was doing like word on the street shit. And I was like, you know, when you're watching an interview and you're like, why didn't you ask this? Or why didn't you say that? And I'm like, bro, if you're going to go on the street, anybody could do this, bitch. Be the personality, homie. Yeah. Ask me the shit about, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? The things that are going to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah,
that's the shit I love. And I think actually that's why the dude that we had on, I had been so drawn to his clips, because I was like, I love finding out things about people I don't know that are so crazy. Like, I don't really want to hear celebrities talk more than I want to hear about you fucking your cousin.
Right.
What's the craziest thing that y'all have heard, like, interviewing people outside?
Have we heard crazy yet?
I don't know about crazy, but maybe personal.
Okay.
I remember this one girl was talking about how she was trying to do anal, but her butt was too small.
Right.
So then we like proceeded to tell her, like, you should try a butt plug and spread your asshole so the dick can go in easier.
Wait, so y'all educating people on the streets too?
I mean, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a key life lesson.
Yeah.
I think my butt's too small too.
Yeah. No, try a butt
plug. She done did it though. She just be playing.
But remember, it was only in the head and it was like super painful. So I think the muscle, I think some people just retract and it's like you can't relax.
Oh, you got to be relaxed as fuck.
And breathe.
You got to have you got to have a whole breathing exercise. Like, you about to have a baby, like, okay,
Lamar's class.
Yeah.
Are you pregnant?
You literally have to do a whole breathing exercise. So Both Sides of the Bed, you guys are a couple.
We are.
So tell us about what you guys talk about on your show. And I know you have so many clips about freaky versus kinky and that not being the same, but you guys really educate too. So tell our audience about your show.
Right. So, I mean, the premise of the show is centered around having conversations about sex that people are comfortable with or just not know that are available to them. You know, so it's really just opening up the doors for people to have sexual exploration and self-exploration through the process of having sex.
When you said open up, I thought you were going with something else. But okay, I get
it.
It's all levels opening up.
And y'all work together and y'all is in a relationship. So I need to know what the fuck that is like. Because we've had other couples too that have pods. But I also know in talking to them after they've done it for some time, it becomes stressful. Like, what if y'all fucking get in an argument and gotta fucking record the next day?
It's happened.
It's funny you should ask.
What was it, yesterday?
Yeah, actually.
What do you guys fight about?
Yeah.
What was the most recent?
I think just trying to get on the same page with one another and just trying to operate on his program.
Do Do you feel like how long have you been together?
Two and a half years.
Do you feel like podcasting together, like starting a business together, was like smart? Like, does it strengthen the relationship? Or are you like,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's an amazing aspect to our relationship that's new now. So it's like, we really have a baby now through doing this together. But I think because we basically live together, but we have separate places. Once we reach that threshold where it's like, all right, we've been 2 weeks now, it's time for you to take your ass home for a little bit. Then that's when the arguments really start.
Not because I tell her to go home. It's not that. It's more so that we've just had our threshold of each other and just needing that space, because we do work together. We do spend a lot of time with each other. You know, we're partners, we're best friends. So we're partners in work as well.
I love that 2.5 years later, though, you guys still have your own separate places. Like, to me, that was something that I don't think I'll ever give up in dating. Like, I loved that we could spend 4 days together and then, nigga, you going home.
Who got the favorite house?
Mine.
Yeah,
it's mine.
Well, only because I have, I live with my sister.
Okay.
So
his, there.
We can be loud at his place.
Yeah, we got all the freedom.
Well, because you guys are in a relationship, I wanted to start with some relationship questions.
Okay.
Like I said, so mad I didn't bring my cards, but these questions do kind of stem from Love Unlocked, which is shout out to therapist Max Stanley, who is here on the pod. I wanted to know, let me start with the woman, because this is normally something. Is there a fear in telling your partner no to something? And if there is, what is it?
Telling him no to something?
Yes.
I wouldn't say a fear.
Okay.
Maybe like just a mild discomfort, just because I'm not sure of his reaction.
Okay.
Also, we have a dom sub dynamic. So saying no isn't really...
Oh, you're not allowed to say no.
It's not that I'm not allowed to say no. It's just, it's I have to say it in a certain way.
Help us, because I don't get it.
So with our dynamic, Would you like to help me explain this dynamic?
Explain the dynamic.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we have a dom-sub dynamic, and I would say our style, well, my style is more of a nurturing daddy dom. I'm not really about the extra strict protocols and all of that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not my style. I'm more chill, relaxed.
Do you guys live in it all day, every day?
Yeah, it's 24/7.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's like where our challenges came about, because when we got together, it was in the beginning of COVID. So we met a month right before COVID, and then we just shacked up like immediately after that. And so we got to the thick of it real quick.
Yeah.
So within developing that, learning that this is something that we wanted to do, it was an interesting experience, because we had just so much time to do it, because there's nothing else.
What kind of pet names go on in the daddy dom dynamic for both of you?
For us, baby girl for sure, princess,
daddy,
sir. And sir. Yeah. It's crazy because I've seen the transition, because like we'll be around family and then have to figure out how to turn it off. Because it was
very difficult.
It was just on for the first year and a half. So now we started getting back out into the world. It's like, we'll go out to brunch with my parents or whatever.
And she can't daddy or sir you in front of the parents.
No, I do. And
that wasn't the plan, though.
It's not the plan. So we initially agreed that we'll code switch. I know. Yeah. I'm just a fucking mess. We initially agreed that we'd code switch, because like, why am I calling him daddy in front of his dad? But I'm so used to it. And he has a son, and his son calls him daddy. So we just both call him daddy. His son doesn't think anything of it. So it's just,
that
just
to me works. Is not crazy. Yeah, I've heard parents ask daddy, ask mom.
Yeah, so it completely works in that. So I'm not necessarily having to code switch all the time. So just in the midst of it, I'll just be like, daddy, can you pass me the ketchup? And his mom is right next to
him. First time that happened?
Like,
no, the first time it happened.
Never say
what was the first time that happened?
It was on my birthday. Yeah, it was on my birthday. I remember we were just eating. I'm looking down at my plate, and she said, "Pass the ketchup." I'm just,
And I was fuck.
And I looked at
both of them. Daddy.
Yeah, it was very loud too. It was very loud.
Yeah.
And I looked at both of them. They didn't respond.
And they're very reserved people. It is my honest belief that they heard and they were like, "Let me just mind my fucking business."
Were y'all texting under the table?
No, but we just looked at each other like, "Dun dun." I was
like, "Oh, that's where we're going with it." Okay.
But no.
See why my son likes you.
But now it's transitioned to a consistent sir. So in places where it's not appropriate for daddy, it's still a consistent sir. And
I would say not. It's funny that I would say uncomfortable.
It's funny because sir is less uncomfortable. I know when Monique went on to the Breakfast Club and she was calling her husband daddy, and he's also her manager, that people felt a way that she was calling her husband daddy. And I guess it makes people uncomfortable.
About that.
Monique calls her husband daddy publicly, and a lot of people felt
really weird that this powerful woman was somewhat submitting to a man because she is who the fuck she is. Have you had this dynamic in a previous relationship?
No.
No, it was the first time for both of us.
Really? So then who introduced it? That was actually my next question. Who introduced it and how did the conversation happen? I assume you introduced it since this is your first time.
He definitely introduced it. The way he introduced it was so hilarious to me. I'm just going to give you my version.
Okay,
so we met on, what was it? The 22nd, January 22nd. I only know this because my...
Women be knowing the
days. It's not even that. No, my sister's birthday is the 23rd.
Okay.
So we met the 22nd. And on the 23rd, my sisters and I go to the spot. We get high as fuck. I'm talking. We smoked. We took edibles. We took some shrooms. And then this random lady comes up to us. We're like soaking in the tub, ass naked. And she's like, you want to buy some stuff? And like my two sisters, she's like telling my two sisters.
Wait, sorry. I don't know if I skipped something.
No.
You were at a spa and you were soaking in the tub?
Yeah, you know, it's like a Korean spa.
The spa.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I thought you said we were at this spa. Did y'all hear that?
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
I said this was spa. Okay, you're at the spa.
Yeah, we're at the spa. And this lady just comes up to us and just offers us drugs. So we're like, fuck yeah, we're going to take some drugs. So trusting. We are really trusting.
That's me too.
Because we're at the spa, it's like we get high and then sweat it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept taking more. So at the end of the night, we had this one cookie left and my sisters are like, we like stop at the highway. It's my two older sisters and my three older sisters and myself. And we're in two different cars. We like pull over and take another cookie. And I'm like, guys, I really don't think this is a good idea. This is like a really big piece. Like we should be doing a small mart. They're like, you're such a little bitch. Let's take it. So I take
it. Not the beer pressure.
Then we get to her house. We're in Jersey, drive to Queens. We get to her house. I'm high as fuck. Then when we get outside, my one sister goes, my husband can't know we're high. So just pretend you're sober. What the fuck you mean pretend we're sober? So we get into the house and their idea of pretending we're sober is drink wine so he thinks we're drunk. So then I get drunk as shit. So I'm drunk and high to this day, I don't think I've been drunk and high at the same time like that. And this guy texts me like, I really need to talk to you. And we had sex our first night. So
okay.
I'm so high. I'm like, shit, I got him pregnant. Like, I'm about to be your daddy.
Right.
Like, that's how high I was. So I'm like freaking out. And I'm with my nephew, who's also named Amir. And I was so high. I thought he was my my best friend. So I'm just like telling him about my sex campaigns. I'm just like, oh my God, yes, his dick is so big.
Was it
and
him?
My nephew, yeah, I'm talking about him. Good. No, but my nephew's name is Amir as well.
No, but at least you were talking about him.
Yeah. So I'm like laying on my nephew's nap. He's like petting me. He's like, okay, auntie, just like trying to sober me up. And I'm texting him and I'm like, and he just thinks I'm just like regular high. And he's like, I'll just get you an Uber since you can't drive. So I go over there. I'm so terrified. I'm like, he's pregnant. I'm going
to
be.
Because he said he wants to talk.
He's like, what else do you urgently need to talk to me about right after we have sex? Like, this is a day in.
He could have been itching.
You know, I was so high, I couldn't even go there.
You didn't even think that.
I was so high,
you thought he was pregnant.
I was urgently thinking this man was pregnant by me. So I get there and we're like laying in bed and I'm just like looking at him, like just shaking, like, oh my God, like, what is he about to say? Because then at some point I'm just like, this man's not pregnant. So I just don't know what he's about to say. And he's just like, I was wondering if, you know, you'd be open to this DS relationship. And I'm like,
in 24 hours?
Yeah.
You done brought it to her that quick?
That was nice.
She skipped the whole part. Also, this is me high. So this is how it happened.
This is what she remembers, okay?
This is what I remember.
Okay. So what was it, 24 or 48 hours prior, we went on our first date?
Yeah.
So prior to that, we didn't have a conversation. I don't even think I let you knew it was something I was interested in.
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. But prior to that, I only had experience topping one person before. So, you know, I was playing, I had the toys, you know, it was a nice, fun introduction to dominating somebody. So it's like that kind of scratched a little itch and I was like, I wonder what this is about. But I didn't find anybody over the course of like maybe 2 years that I was really ready to try that again with. So we went on our first date and it was just an instant energetic
connection
experience.
Yeah.
It was like she went into a very submissive space and then I went into a dominant space and it just kind of worked. And then the light bulb went off like, maybe I can activate on this. And so we get back to my place and
like you a transformer or something.
Yeah.
It was like that though.
Yeah.
It was like once that button got pressed, I never went back to predominate me in that way.
And you've been enjoying being a sub as well.
Yeah, because it came out of her. So we get back to the house and we start having sex. And she's like, I just want you to own me. We getting it in.
I don't recall.
We getting in heavy eye contact. We going in. I'm definitely controlling the situation.
The dick gotta be fire, bitch. You was yelling, I want you to own me.
I don't recall.
I recall.
But no, that's when the dick, not, it's devil dick to let you, first time you're saying you want to own you.
I like
own
during sex, but the first time?
The first time you said, oh, baby. You gonna own this pussy.
It was and continues to be great dick.
I know that's right.
That's so sweet.
I know that's right.
Enough to make a podcast with them.
You know, I love that. Well, we're going to talk more about relationship shit, but I wanted to get into our vanilla shit. If you guys are listening to this for the first time, our vanilla shit segment is Sex in the News. We have been away from the studio for quite some time. So you guys definitely saw this circulating the blogs. Our good friend who was on the pod, Shan, on her Lovers and Friends podcast, had someone by the name of Watch Jazzy on. And yes, she talked about being super submissive and all those things, but I wanted to play a clip and I wanted to hear you guys' response to it. Eden, are you going to play it? And then I'll tell you when to cut it off.
I don't think I saw this.
This is regarding doing something with your partner that you may or may not enjoy. But this was her answer to it.
Anything goes for sure if you're comfortable with the person. Because I'm doing shit I never did before. I'm just like, I would have never done this. But you know what? I'm comfortable with this person and I feel safe.
Do you have an example?
Anal. You're like, you have an example? Yeah, that.
Do you do it for you or do you do it for them?
I do it for him because for me, I'm not at a place where I like it yet. We had one successful time where I was like, okay, you know, my butt creamed. It was like, oh shit. Like it was like creaming. I don't know what the fuck that was, but it was like, it was weird.
Yeah. I don't know the science of that in particular because your butt doesn't lubricate in that way. You could shit on the person.
So it was booty juice.
It wasn't though. It was clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fascinating. I'll have to get back to you on that.
So this is also a 2-minute clip, so I didn't want to play it all, but she pretty much says, I don't enjoy anal sex because it hurts. It's not something that I do, but I do it because he wants to do it. And luckily, you guys are in the sense to where you guys agree, but that was one of my things with my ex. As much as I enjoy pegging, he was not finna do it. And I didn't truly want to do anything that I knew he didn't like. And so I wanted to know with you guys, if there is anything that maybe you enjoy that you don't, or vice versa, and how you guys go about that conversation. And do you think it's healthy that she says she's doing something sexually with her partner that she doesn't enjoy and that's painful for her?
Well, I think it's beautiful to have that mindset to be open enough to push yourself for your partner.
Okay.
And I understand, like, I saw some other clips from Jazzy and it was, I don't know if she would call herself an actual sub.
She definitely giving off sub.
Yeah, heavy sub. So I understand with that mindset, like that's true submission, pushing yourself past your comfort zone for the sake of pleasing your partner.
I also wouldn't compare this to like doing something you don't like. Like, one, it doesn't sound forceful. Like at first, even hearing you say it and even like reading the thing, like the headline, that was totally different. To me, that was more like, I'm not like, I don't love eating pussy, but I do it for you. Like she's like, I'm not at the point where I like it yet because it's still probably uncomfortable. She's still like getting loose, getting lubed up, learning how to do it. Like that didn't give what I thought. But I'm sure there's people in the comments trashing her because
I want to ask you then as a sub and being submissive, because I ain't going to hold you. I ain't doing shit I don't want to do. Ever. I know I am more of the dominant.
But it doesn't
my
sound like she doesn't want to.
She literally said it's painful and it's not something she's ever done. And she doesn't.
Yeah, she's never done.
Like
it doesn't sound like she doesn't want to.
No, it sounds like she.
It sounds like she does it for him. She wants to serve him. She wants to please him. She doesn't want to do anal sex. Like there's a difference there, and I want to ask you then as a sub, like the difference in wanting to please him by doing whatever he asks, and in the same time doing something that you genuinely don't like, or that may be painful for you, or that you may not ask for ever because it's not something you want.
As far as like something that just makes me uncomfortable, he's not the type to just push me past my limit.
Okay.
But even if a circumstance came up, I would push that limit with him. If that's something that he really desired and that's something that could bring us closer and bring pleasure, giving him pleasure gives me pleasure. And in that submission, it's a part of it. It's a part of that sacrifice and a part of that.
That's what I heard. I didn't hear anything about her. I really didn't take that as a bad clip.
It's a 2-minute clip. I don't want to play the whole thing.
But it just wasn't given like, one, uncomfortable is a big word to use. If someone's making you uncomfortable and like, that's different from, I don't know. I believe that she wants to do it. Like, I feel like the only reason I had anal sex, and granted, I wanted it to work. It didn't necessarily work. I got enough in, but he was probably the only partner I ever had that really wanted it. And I did it. And yeah, it hurt, but also like he was so turned on and I knew it was going to take me time. I feel the same way. Like, it wasn't like a complete write-off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that we do confuse sometimes. And I think that's what's scary about a clip like this, is because people can misconstrue, like, she's doing things she doesn't want to do for a man, right, da, 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 and yeah, put all that pressure on her, where it's just like, girl, I ain't fucking ass yet. I love this nigga. Let me warm up to it right now. It kind of hurts a little bit, but that's kind of actually how I took that.
Okay. Yeah.
But also, there is a lot of context with her last sub clip too, to where you can see that it probably turns her on to do things like that for a nigga.
Yeah. Right. I think also, as just as a sub, it's very pleasing and very validating in a way to just please your man, to please your dom in that way, and to just give all of yourself to them. Because it's also about trust, just being in a space where you just fully trust this person and trust that if you're at your limit, that you can say it. Like, I tried, I want this for you, I want this for us, and I'm at my limit right now. And just trusting that he will honor that. So being in that space, I'm in that space with him. So kind of just anything goes, and we'll try it at least once.
And then who gotta like it to do it again? As long as he like it, it goes again.
I don't think we've ever had that. I think
situation.
In the way we can learn to communicate, I always want to make sure it's a way that she enjoys. So if I feel like she just doesn't enjoy it, I'm not gonna truly enjoy it.
Yeah.
We need to work out the kinks until we find something that we both like.
I know that's right.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Well, let's get into our hors d'oeuvre. I am going to ask each of you to give a sex tip. So whether you do it from the dom perspective, you do it from the sub perspective, or just something sexual that y'all have done that y'all think other people would enjoy too, go ahead. We will start with the lady, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Basira, go ahead and give us a sex tip.
A sex tip. I'm blanking. Oh my God.
Why don't we pass it to your daddy then?
Okay. Yeah. So daddy.
I would say number one in whatever it is that you do, show the fuck up.
Yeah.
Whatever
Thank
it
you
is,
with grade A dick every time. Yeah. That's what I said.
Show up in whatever it is for you. And your partner's going to feel that. Nobody wants mediocre anything. So whether it's a dom sub situation or it's the most amazing vanilla missionary sex, show the fuck
up. So we had a debate last week where he talked about, were we on the mic when we talked about that? Yeah. So I was like, sometimes I'll show up with CB in the beginning and then I graduate. Do you always show up A+, but best dick you'll ever have? I guess you do, because you
always
own it.
Always. It's like going straight.
Has that ever been an issue for you when you like fuck the shit out of women on the first night and then they be going crazy? Have you been like, damn, I fucked her too good?
Yeah, because there's been times like I'll go out on a date and instantly know like, I'm not really feeling her. But then I'm like, I'll probably still fuck though. And it's like, why am I even doing that? And then bringing that mindset in, I'm gonna lay it down. I don't even like you. Why am I even giving you?
I gotta
that?
Ask.
That's
you,
ego.
You guys bring people into the bedroom with y'all?
Yeah.
So I have a question for you, ma'am. Okay? Because if you show up the best, this was not an issue, but a conversation I had multiple times with my ex. I'm like, damn, everybody get this type of dick that you give me? Like, I actually was mad that he was showing up. so good at giving dick to everyone that joined us in the bedroom.
But they were your friends. They got no, gotta fuck them like that.
It's no.
Oh, because if you fucking my homegirl, you need to fuck the shit out of her.
No, you sucking toes. You doing everything that you do that to me, no. They all shouldn't be getting massages in the morning or their toes sucked or their ass ate. And he was that way even at the sex club. So no, it's not even just my friends. It's anyone that got brought into the room.
Oh yeah, no,
that nigga showed the fuck up. So he said he's going to show up how he shows up. Does that make you feel any way like nothing is left for you?
It makes me feel very turned on. Okay. I think he has some great dick. I think I'd love to share it with whoever is worthy. And we both show up fully. One of my favorite things when we let someone else into our bedroom is just kind of like catering to the experience, okay, like grabbing some lube, you know, putting a finger where needed, whatever, whatever to enhance the experience. Because we're all about experience. It's not just like, let's just fuck. It's like, let's right. have an experience with someone else. And let's bring them in.
Do you open your relationship? Is your relationship open separately or do you only have sex with other people together?
It started out together with whoever we chose to be with. And I think that's the main thing that we loved about it, being able to do it together. Because it's like, this is my homie and it's also my partner. And so I can have that homie vibe with her and still do it. But now it's like we've evolved to where we enjoy more intimate connections with our partners. So once we establish, okay, we fucking with this person, then we have our own solo encounters with them as well.
Oh, dope.
So you gotta fuck them together first?
Most of the time.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Dope. But it works
out. Yeah. Because I'm bi, so it works out for me because I get to have these same experiences with women. With women. And he just gets more new pussy. So it's a win-win situation.
That's what I thought. And people couldn't understand. Like, that was a part of my relationship that I was like, oh yeah, I want to keep doing this. Like, yeah, even when we went to sex clubs, I would be like, you want to go tonight? But it was because I had the urge to be with women. Mm-hmm. And I got to be with a lot of women.
Can I ask you guys, we talk about the sex club so much on this podcast. Taking the sex club out of it, where do you meet someone? I feel like a lot of people ask us that. And if they don't have access to a sex club or whatever, like, where have your encounters happened?
We get busy on the apps. That's how we met.
The apps, yeah. Okay.
Which we met on OkCupid, and we've met...
We met on OkCupid. So I have an episode coming up with them on my TV show where I met a girl on OkCupid, and I had no idea. And Sharonis guided me through it. We meet the girl together. We, like, go on this date. But basically, there's, like, 60 categories of orientation on OkCupid, more than any other app, where it's, like, you can do bi, like, kind of poly, like, this, that. Do you guys swap it in that way now? Do you like fill it out in a certain way?
We're not on OkCupid now because we realize it just doesn't work for what we're looking for.
Yeah,
it's not kink friendly.
It's like Fet Life filled.
Yeah. It's not kink friendly.
Filled is great.
Yeah. Yeah,
and filled has all of those subcategories too.
We honestly haven't been on there since we've met.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe they're trying to get loose and get on the hookup shit.
We met on there. Then
what the fuck? I thought that surprises me. Why that app? Because you hear about Tinder, Bumble, Field.
I get no love on Tinder. I've never got any love for whatever reason.
I think
Tinder.
I made an account and completely just never went on it. And so my friend was like, I saw you on Tinder. I was like, I have a Tinder.
I've met a lot of people on Bumble and on Raya.
Yeah, I liked Bumble.
But I got kicked off of Bumble for being myself. Someone thought I was a fake page.
Even with Bumble, I thought it was first time. Like, all right, cool. I set up my profile and they come to me for the first time. They're lazy as hell. They'll just say hi. And I still got to do all this shit.
I don't like that.
That's like,
I'm just be lazy. I ain't going to hold you. I'm single now. Y'all got to teach me. Please hop in my DM and tell me what works. I still just send the GIF, shoot in my shop, or the eyes. On Instagram, I don't do apps.
On Instagram, I
need to see multiple pictures. I need to see mutual friends. I'm not on no apps right now at all.
I saw you on an app before.
It
might have been a video.
Yeah, either fake page or just one made forever ago. But also,
you're on Field.
Bitch, they don't pay me no more. I was on there because I was getting paid to be on there.
Okay.
I'm not on there.
That's where I saw you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The bitch is still up, but I personally don't like meeting people on apps. Last week, I talked about how I became a unicorn. I met them in person. And my friends laugh because they know my go-to trick is sending drinks. I love buying people drinks because people don't buy drinks for you anymore. Mm. Like, men do not buy drinks for women anymore. I know they're expensive in New York. They're $20 drinks. Niggas don't. They'll come up and talk to you.
I disagree.
Bro, I don't know, bro.
But first off, men aren't buying you drinks. I have been going out often with my friends. for what it used to be.
Maybe because niggas don't want to do it in a group.
When I was with my friends, no, even in my 20s.
Wait, is it just two of you?
Niggas brought...
I don't go
out with groups. It'll be me and maybe one other person.
And men aren't saying...
Where I go out by myself. No, they'll come up and try to have a whole ass conversation with me, and I'll drink so you can hear I'm drinking ice at this point. I'm so angry with it, like waiting for niggas ain't offering to buy drinks. So I love that's how I approach women. Like, would you like a drink? Mind you, fans buy drinks all the
time.
Hold
on, wait. Okay, I have men to ask because I think this is an actual fair point. Do men not buy you drinks at like? networking/industry.
No, bitch. Regular
clubs
people,
and bars, niggas ain't buying
me. First off, the industry shit, it's open bar. You ain't got to buy me a drink. That shit, no. When I'm out in regular places, I like to bar hop. I be out in fucking West Village, East Village, regular ass places. Niggas want to come up and hold whole ass conversations with me and not offer me a fucking drink.
Maybe it's because I'm in nightlife, but I've always done the buying drinks.
I haven't.
I even bought you a drink when we were in L.A.
You said you lied. I bought you a drink.
You are my friend. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Like,
but niggas, they have approached me and we talked about it. Even going out in Atlanta.
That's weird.
Going out in multiple cities. Mm. This is a multiple city thing,
bro. I have guys really? Kind of maybe not like talk to me
not
a
even just
bit,
in New York. Multiple cities. Niggas will come up.
Maybe I want to get my number. I don't know.
To where, and I'm nasty. So you want my number, but you ain't going to buy me a drink? No, I'm good. Like,
that's some new shit. That got to be some new shit.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's new shit, which is why as a woman, when I'm trying to holler at another girl, I'll buy the woman drinks. I'll send a drink across the bar. Like, fellas.
Bro, I don't have a homeboy in my life that I don't go out with that doesn't send drinks to other... Like, they are constantly... I've literally just experienced that a week
ago.
That's
so weird.
That is some weird shit.
I'm telling you, niggas will sit here and have... whole conversations with me or whole conversations with my friends.
But I'm going to be real with
you. This has been constant
even
conversation.
Even my friends is like, and I'm not calling them broke, but like a lot of my friends have jobs where they may not be making six figures yet. You know what I'm saying? They still be buying drinks.
Yeah, people, on my like, brokest of broke days, like you ever see Half Baked?
Yes.
And Dave Chappelle took chick out on a date and his little money was dwindling down. He came up with like $20. So, even on my brokest of broke days, I calculate.
No.
I'm 33 now.
I wonder if like this is like a young
nigga
thing.
No, it's a new thing. It gotta be, but also just niggas ain't moving the same.
It's
bro.
In the water.
It ain't got to. let me tell you how bad it is. And I'm bringing this up because it's not just my experience. It's all my friends. I was just talking to, was one of my homegirls. Her friend owns a bar. So they were talking about how this guy comes in who knows the owner.
Okay.
Will sit at the bar. His drinks are free because he knows the owner. And he'll tell the girls that he's with, just leave them the tip. Bro, you're getting free drinks and telling the girls you're with to just leave a tip. She's a bartender. I was out with my bartender. Wow. That's where it is. Wow. And she's like, bro, he brings all these women in and tells them to tip. And she was complaining because so many times the women are there getting free drinks and they don't tip.
You want to hear the most scumbag shit I've ever heard?
Bro.
I'm in a fucking, what was I in? Oh, I'm in an Uber in LA. Had no idea that Uber Pool was back.
Oh, Uber Share?
Yeah.
Uber Share, yeah.
Didn't know.
Back. It is fucking,
I'm fucking smacked, okay? I'm going to say it's like 2:30, almost 3, and now I'm going to fucking Habibi, which is some hookah spot. I don't even like hookah, but I was just in a mood. So I'm on my way there, and I wondered why the Uber driver made me meet him across the street, but that's how Uber Pool works. So I don't know what I clicked, but anyway, long story short, there's someone else in the car. I said, oh shit, my bad. And he was like, are you Gila? I said, yeah. He's like, this is your ride. I said, well, what is this? So it was a dude in the car. And the dude was actually really young and really funny. He was like, get in the car. I'm on my broke boy shit. You are too.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So I was like, all right. So then we start getting into how it's Uber Share, whatever. And I was in West Hollywood. If anyone knows, Habibi's like really far. It's maybe 20, 30 minute drive. He was going to the same place. So I was like, I was like, so what do you do? We start talking. And he was like, yo, I'm like coming off my homeboy. Like my homeboy started rapping and shit. So like wherever this nigga go, I'm at because he got the bitches and I just be taking leftover.
Oh my God.
And I was like, damn.
And he's admitting to this. See
yeah.
What I mean?
He was very young though. Like maybe not even 21. So I was like,
oh, he better.
I said,
well,
damn. I said, he was cool, but how are you going to be getting money? He said, well, right now, all of my friends like work in nightlife. He was like, shit, one of my friends even worked in the movie. So I just be saying like, oh, I can, you know, get you a ticket for half. So I have the girl send me money on the date. You know what I'm saying? They think they split in the day, but really I'm coming up because I ain't paying for the shit.
See what I mean? But y'all,
and he said the same thing.
Y'all crazy when I said niggas ain't buying drinks.
No, this is a kid.
Niggas is homosexuals. He grown.
He's not a kid. Let's not call 20-year-olds kids. We're not going to do that because then everyone's pedophiles. They are not kids. They're fucking adults.
Are they adults enough to understand how to, like,
they're young? We were adult enough to have fake IDs and getting drinks at 16. So I know by 20, you know what the fuck you're doing.
Even at 16, though, like, we knew. We had to get the bottles. Figure out how to get the bottles.
I know, get there before the fuck they started charging. So we got our Amaretto Sours and Long Island Iced Teas to be lit by the time they started charging.
Let me tell you how I know this dude as a kid. We get to the club.
He's grown.
We get in. And I'm about to get a drink. And I felt so bad for him. I was like, you want a drink? Yeah, I'll take one. I'll take one. But my homeboy's about to get a bottle anyway, so I'm going to get you a drink back. That's what he said. And sure enough,
he made a drink out of his friend's bottle.
Yeah, 30 minutes later, he came right up to me with the Casamigos. He said, you want Repo or Blanco? I said, I know that's right.
All
right,
cool.
Wow. But I don't think somebody's ever bought me a drink.
See? And you just sat there and thought about it.
I've never
bought her a drink?
Look, no.
Sent you a drink?
No. Yeah, this never happened.
Exactly. It's a real thing that I experienced 10 years ago, but now going out, it's not a thing no more.
Yeah.
And niggas just want to talk. Niggas want to talk to you. You lesbian. So bitches are sending drinks, but not
bitches. Dudes.
Oh, dudes?
But I'm saying she could still have dudes.
Oh, my bad. Oh, sorry. I thought you was a lesbian.
She was in the clothes.
Bi erasure happens again.
My bad.
But you know what it is? That's how people do men. You're bi, so you're gay.
I'll be with her and they still send both of us.
I've seen that.
Oh, because now they want a threesome. That's all that is, bitch. Niggas be chatting and... So I'm drinking air, nigga. You're talking too much. Where am I drink at?
Whenever I go, I will say this. The place is also where... So sometimes smaller bars, not all the time. Even like a Last Lap, not all the time because it feels so friendly and communal. Mm. But when I go to like a club, like New York club, like a PhD, Little Sister, Casablanca, whatever club I go to, dude send me drinks at clubs. Mm. Buy me drinks at clubs. Like clubbing for some reason, maybe because it's too loud to talk.
Mm. And I'll be honest with you. Can't tell y'all the last time a bitch been in a club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't club. I'll do bars. I'll do restaurants. Yeah. But
no, clubs are terrible.
Can't do a club. Oh,
also,
I hate
like,
it.
Is it the age that we're falling in? We're like sitting down and listening to music. Like,
it is your age.
Sitting down and listening to music is like, why are we here?
Yeah.
Also, I don't like the weird hierarchy of clubs necessarily. Like, okay. So I spent a lot of time in LA and I don't go to Poppy or Delilah or Hyde or any of those places or even Highlight Room I don't really fuck with because there's not a dance floor and it then forces you to go to a table. And then once you get to that table, you're supposed to
dance with the
20 people that are there because everybody wants to be at a table.
Yeah.
So
it's dumb.
It's a weird ass fucking vibe. So, of course, I know people at these clubs, so I will literally go get a drink, chill, and be like, all right, y'all. And then I just go dance in the aisle because there's no real dance floor.
Nowhere.
And then everybody thinks that I'm a fucking weirdo because I'm not at a table. So the niggas will be like, yo, do you want to come and sit here? And I'm like, no, I'm actually having a good time. Like, it's just weird. Yeah,
it's so weird.
Opposed to being in a bar where it doesn't feel like that. And I think it just is a uncomfortable, like, I don't know, bring clubs back, bro.
Bring buying drinks back. Niggas, if you listening and you got a motherfucking penis and you out here single trying to motherfucking find somebody, buy a woman a drink.
Right.
And if you talking to her and you see her drink is half done.
Fair.
Please be like, well, what are you drinking? Let me get you want another one? It's so simple. And yes,
it goes a long way.
It may not, but and to be fair, that's the problem too. I think a lot of people just expect that, oh, if I bought this bitch a drink, she with me all night. Right. No, it may or may not go anywhere, but nigga, it's $14. It could take you way further if you just fucking get her a fucking
$14.
Yeah. I mean, if you in the South, and up here it's about 22, but...
Nigga, if you in the South, them drinks better be 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
During happy hour, and if you want a PBR, bitch. That's what I'm... Casamigos was $9.50.
Oh, speaking of drinks cost and sending drinks, with one of my friends, we were watching the... God damn it. What was going on where the... Was it the last finals game? What's happening?
What was basketball?
Was it Celtics?
Nah, yes. Warriors. Warriors and Celtics. Yeah.
Okay, that was it. I knew I wasn't stupid, but I am. So we're sitting down.
You dress like a Celtic today, bitch. You better.
So we're at a place in Silver Lake, and it's like a Williamsburg-y vibe for anybody that's listening. So we're there. There's girls. There's a nice bar, but it ain't the nicest of the nice. And he was like, oh, I gotta send these girls drinks. They fine as shit. And so he tells the bartender to get them whatever they want. Or whatever they're drinking. Do you know these bitches drank 1942? And he spent $110 on their drinks.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I swear to God, Weezy, if I'm fucking one of these bitches, I'm be so
see what I mean? That's nuts.
He was freaking out. So I'm like, dog, I ain't gonna lie. That's a drink to fucking order when someone's buying you a drink.
Do you? I bet you they ordered that shit because he said he was.
Bruh. So then I'm looking at the glasses they had before. I'm like, that's giving sangria. And you bitches had 1942?
No.
Girl, do you know they came by right at the end of the game talking about, thanks so much, it was nice to meet y'all. I said, yeah. Yo, you better go chase after that pussy for $110. Yeah. I almost did it. I can't believe it.
I mean, but technically, each pussy was only $40. You're not getting my pussy off $40. I mean, because it was 40 plus tax. That's probably how we got there.
But bruh, tip. You know what?
You know what I mean?
I don't know if I could do that to a man.
$35 a shot.
That's the risk you run, though, you know? But you gotta get in the game, you know? You don't want no pussy.
That is a risk you run.
You don't want no pussy if you're not spending nothing on no drinks. You don't want nothing.
You said 14. You said 950. That nigga spent 110. And don't you know we had to hear about it all night?
Get in your motherfucking competitive bag. You want to be put into the game?
That's it.
We are the coach, and you asking us to put you into the game, so buy some motherfucking drinks. All right. Let's get into our horrible decision. For this one with a couple, I wanted to talk about accepting change and growth with your partner. There's toxic takes I've seen on the internet regarding this. And I do want to bring up this article from Newsweek.com. There's like three different scenarios here, and I want y'all's input. Weezy, please share yours too.
Okay.
This is on relationships, and there's fury on the internet over this. A not so happily married woman has sparked debate online after revealing that she is refusing to have sex with her husband while he has a beard. Compromise may be the key to a happy marriage, but in this instance, neither side is willing to concede any ground in what is essentially a disagreement over facial hair. As the disgruntled wife in this tale of woe puts, he likes his beard, I hate it. Her aversion to facial hair bucks the trend when it comes to women and beards. But pretty much, she is not attractive to him with this beard. He's grown it. You know, men be growing.
Mine's the opposite.
Off.
When they shave
oh,
it off.
Oh, I ain't gonna hold you. I be mad as fuck. Like, bitch, you better grow that shit back. But, okay, cool. We've all experienced this.
Yeah.
In changes that happen with your partner on a physical level, like this one, what is the conversation when you don't like something? Because I know this was a thing with my hair. My partner felt the way that I never came to him and discussed the color I was going. Before coming, I was just showing up with hot pink.
What's his blue, favorite hair of yours?
The blue. I mean, the blonde.
This.
He liked the blonde. When it was colorful, it was just a lot of attention. I looked, you know, I don't know, maybe different with fucking hot pink hair, I guess.
How was your hair when he met you?
It was just regular black. I had just chopped my hair off. Actually, when he met me, I want to say I had a lace wig on. So he maybe thought I had some long hair.
Because
then I got dreads. So he's literally been with me on every phase of my hair. Like, I had dreadlocks at one point. When we did Miami, I had long braids.
Did you switch your pink hair?
No, I just stay bald.
You just stay bald?
Like, how many years?
Since 2016.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good.
So what is the conversation if, say, he cuts his hair off?
His beard off.
His beard off. Yeah.
That'd be the one thing that's...
Do you vocalize it?
Hell yeah. It's so funny. We talk about it all the time where... I'm like, that's the one, like, you can cheat on. I was going to say that.
This morning. Like, she said it. She said this morning. Yeah.
I literally was like, you can cheat on me and, like, tell me you got somebody pregnant and I'd forgive you faster than if you just showed up without your beard.
But, yo, luckily, you're attractive. Because here's the true thing about beards. Beards can be, like, I've seen dudes that are not that cute and they'll have something else. Like, oh, he's got dreads or he's tall or he's got a body. Luckily, you're cute. Imagine if it was one of them niggas and cut their beard off.
No, I like facial hair, bro.
That shit is
facial
so
hair
high.
Change a whole nigga.
Yeah.
It's look at James Harden.
Oh, word. Don't look at his teeth.
He's
but
ugly.
His beard even covers his mouth.
Yeah.
That's what, well, his money covers everything else.
Funny like, enough, when
I hate when people, by the way, say shit like, how could she fuck him? Hello.
He's worth fucking $200 million.
Are
you high? Duh. And here's my asshole.
Bitch.
She's fucking rich.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you feel then? Let's get into, because this husband in particular is being withheld of sex until, I guess, his beard gets cut. How do you respond as somebody, and then I'm going to switch it to women after, but how do you respond with that beard take?
I mean, that definitely wouldn't fly.
Well, does.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm saying if it was, if you cut your beard, I'm not going to have sex with you. I would feel offended.
Son, I just texted my girl, would you rather I cheat on you or shave my beard? And she said, define cheat. That's yo, it's real.
Edit, you're
yo.
That's nuts. Fellas, not only do we need y'all to buy drinks, we need y'all to keep your beard.
We're in a bearded world right now. I realize.
That would make me feel so bad.
Absolutely. Wow,
that's nuts.
That's crazy.
That's fine. That was brilliant.
So,
okay, wait.
Look,
and I don't want this to trigger anybody, but like seriously, you're slim. She gained a bunch of weight.
Yep.
Would you feel that way? Because I feel like when men are with women with this body type, mm-hmm. you have a model-esque body, right? Your neck, your height, everything. It's like, would it fuck you up if she gained weight?
Well, it's funny. I recently, like, I've been, like, escalating with weight. And I recently just lost...
No.
I recently just lost some weight. So, but he likes me thicker.
But if we have a lot of room for
thicker
fluctuation.
Thicker on you is different. It's thighs, probably. It's probably.
But I get my boobs get really big. I think I hide them well.
Ain't nobody complaining about no big.
No. He's not complaining. I like my boobs smaller. I just fit my clothes better. I just it's less heavy on my back. He wants them like juicy and big.
Not juicy.
Yeah. So like that wasn't an argument, but it was a back and forth.
Is her body type your type?
Absolutely, I got a lot of types, but this is the one. But we have a lot of room for flexibility. So if she gained 30.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
She just gonna look like
right.
me.
Right. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. That's the truth. And that's the conversation we see a lot online, right? Like, we've seen so many couples literally say openly, like, well, when I got you, you were 150. Now you 250. That's too much. And it works for both sexes. Like, men gain and lose weight just as well. And you lose sometimes attractability to your partner.
No, I gained happy weight. And I don't think it'll be like that.
Did he tell you? What was that conversation?
No.
No?
You don't think he liked it?
I know he didn't like it because we just started working out like crazy. He would get me up in the morning. Come on, babe. Let's go run. We're going to the beach. We were living in Mexico. Oh, bitch, all I could eat was a taco. Okay? And it was quarantine. I was eating. But I will say, even though I knew it and I could feel it, I think he did the best job he could in just trying to be like, all right, this... And he knows I probably wouldn't like my body like that, right? He's like, I just got to get you back to where you are without saying it. Bitch, you got fat, but we going to get you running. Oh, yeah. We would literally go out and he'd be like, rice and beans. Babe, we haven't had... When's the last time we've had cabbage? When have we ever had it?
But I will say, 75 to 100, I would have an issue with that. Not aesthetically.
The weight gain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gaining a 75 to 100, not aesthetically specifically, but like what happened to allow you to get this far off of where we are. Yeah. So number one, I would hold myself accountable. Like where did I fuck up
what
to
a
allow
daddy.
You know what I'm saying? To
bitch,
get
how were you
far?
Putting food in your mouth and I didn't know?
To the people listening, it could have very well came from kids, which a lot of women, like men want kids. And then you mad when I can't get rid of this baby weight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so
it's like, oh, can I be honest?
Jesus.
You said that's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the conversations I did get into with Old Bay, it's my ex-boyfriend, was he wanted me to get up and I was really tired. He was forcing me to get up. I'm like, this isn't motivational. Now you're making me feel like you just hate me being fat. What are you going to do when I have a fucking baby? He's like, that's different. Is it though, Nick?
Yes. How is it different?
Yes.
Because right now I'm depressed. Oh, so yeah. Something's wrong. So with the baby, you have an excuse that like, nah, bro. Like, I just kind of think dudes say that. And I feel like maybe a few months later, you're like, get back on the treadmill.
But both of y'all said it. Why?
I think that's a different type of big.
It's a biological.
Not a different type of big. Some women gain 60 pounds in pregnancy.
Okay, that's cool.
I just feel like you're creating a whole human. You have room for that. It's more room. It's more understanding of it just happening.
Yeah.
As opposed to you allowing.
So she had the baby a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And they lost the baby weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got a good 3 years.
Now it's
years.
Called mom bod. And you just get
there you go.
You've got some time though.
Okay. So you give it like 3 years. All right. In terms of growth
whole
and
body
change.
Spread out when I have a baby. Every time I look at a picture of Beyonce and her lips and her nose, I'm like,
oh, even Rihanna now. You could see the difference.
That's happening.
In her face
Kylie
and everything.
Even. I watched a little bit of the Kardashians on Hulu with my mom, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now, I don't say it in a bad way. I'm just saying it's like a huge change.
But then I wonder if it's just from the Botox and fillers. Like maybe, no? That's probably why it was bigger.
No, that's why all pregnant women, like, kind of, not all, but most I've seen. Like
saying pregnant or like after they had the baby?
Pregnant. I've seen the nose and the mouth.
Nose and everything.
And I know, bro, when I get sad, I get fat. So you're telling me I'm going to get pregnant? And
you'll be sad pregnant.
Oh, it's over. You're going to have to roll me down to the studio. Okay?
For the
lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
So the last growth and change, I wanted to bring it back to lifestyle. Because especially with you, this being your first relationship with a DS situation, going from a traditional relationship to lifestyle or vice versa. Now, that was a thing in my previous relationship. We kind of started real lifestyle. And then I wanted to kind of pull it back in and just be with him for a little bit. And I think it's another conversation where people sometimes have been together so long. Now they're like, okay, how do we introduce things into the relationship? Or I was with a partner who we've been dealing for years. He ended up getting married. And in getting married, he realized he wanted a poly relationship. Mm-hmm. And he brought that to his wife. And was like, I have a girlfriend. He wanted me to be the second girlfriend, but she knew about me from the past. So that was a long story. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of a marriage with kids, the conversation he brought to her was like, I know we married. I know we got kids. I know we've had our relationship this way for so long. I don't want to be poly and have girlfriends. Mm. I want to know how you guys believe that type of change in your partner should be received.
I think that, I think with us, you mean with us specifically or just in general?
Or in general, with you guys and in general. Like say he then comes to you and is like, I know we have fun together, but I think I'm going to have two other girlfriends where they're just like you because that's just what I want right now. How do you respond to him saying, this is what I want and I think this is what I need? And you either stay with me or you don't, or you accept it or you don't. Like, what would that be like?
That with our relationship, we know that we are life partners. Like, we're engaged. We know that we're in for the long haul. And I think for me, it's about knowing that we're individual people coming in deciding to be partners. So if he decides that he needs something for his life or in his life that is different from what we were doing, then let's try it first and see if it works for us. And if it doesn't work for us, let's switch and figure out what does work for us. So I think that's how it would happen in our relationship. If some drastic shift needed to happen, let's try that shift. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, let's shift again. I think generally, a lot of relationships aren't like that, unfortunately, and that people are very used to, they like familiarity and they want to stay with what they're used to.
Right.
And with that, with a drastic change, it's just like, it feels hurtful, it feels traumatic, and people don't want to do it. But I think a lot of relationships can grow to
together.
So much.
Yeah.
And I think specifically going into a marriage where you know, all right, this is official, going into it knowing, as human beings, we may evolve and shit may change over time, whatever that may be. And so having that understanding, it won't be such a shock when you come 3 years later, hey, I want to start having sex with other people. We've already established, hey, I might grow into a place where this is something I might want. So I think just having that, setting the tone in that
setting
way.
Setting that tone.
Yeah.
I think you're in the age where like, I don't know. I remember watching The Ultimatum and thinking these people are so young. Did y'all watch it?
Yeah.
They're in their early 20s and they're talking about getting married. Like, this is crazy. But I feel like when people are in their 30s, like, you've kind of can feel who, maybe you don't know all the way who you'll be at 40 or throughout your marriage, but you kind of get a taste. Like, for the lifestyle that you guys have, bringing partners in and daddy dom shit or dom sub shit, I feel like, you know, if someone threw that out there 5 years from now, you wouldn't be like, this is a complete shocker.
Yeah.
But it's good to kind of explore those things while dating. And I think a lot of people don't get the chance to do that. They're almost so focused on, you know, each other that, and these are people that I'm saying that are maybe interested in poly shit. I kind of think you almost do need to test the waters.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All together. And you guys are doing that, so.
Because I don't think we would have come to this place where we're so open so quickly if I personally didn't have experience in the lifestyle myself. Mm. So I think I was, 22, like the first time I went to a play party. And just in
having... You started young?
Yeah, I started young.
God damn. I didn't even know this thing existed at 22.
Wait, why do you guys have... What's 222? The proposal date or some shit?
Nah, so this is our angel number. So it's just, our connected representation of our connectedness. And
do you both see it a lot or something?
Yeah, most of our angel...
We just in our relationship, we just saw a lot of angel numbers all the time. Uh-huh. And we're just like, let's pick one for us.
But yeah, also said y'all met on the 22nd.
Yeah, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that.
Wow.
Look at you. Yes. But we were saying, let's pick a number. And it is.
Not Mandy not believing in
you. I didn't think about that for
you. Yeah, I love that.
It's the day before your sister's birthday.
Oh my God, this is so cute.
But we, I know, right? Gag. But we were like, let's pick a number. And I just so happened to look over at our washing machine. It said 222. So that's how we picked it. And it just means unity and just like coming together as one.
I'm not laughing at that.
Not the washing machine.
Kind of funny. Because angel, to understand angel numbers and things like that is just such a deep thing. She's like, then I looked at the washing machine. And I tattooed this on my body.
No. That's how we picked it. But we got it on 222.
That's nice.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, let's.
I found one of my tattoos. On a napkin. This is a...
You drew it?
No. This is all things that Basquiat drew, but he drew this particular thing on a napkin that was at somebody's house. And they had it in a frame. Yeah. And I was like, are you sure that's him? And she was like, yeah, bitch, this is my fucking brother. I was like, oh, well, can I take it?
Well, before we get out of here, I want to end with a home mail, and we would love for you guys to help us with this question, especially you since you've been doing it since 22. All right. Hey, y'all, I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now, and I found comfort in knowing I'm not the only one in this world that feels as comfortable in my sex life and sexuality and talking about it as well. I missed a lot of experiences at my underage, being that I got married and became a mom at 21. I'm now 25, but I believe it's never too late to try things. I've been really thinking I want to gain more experience and try new things and get more into my sex life, but don't know where to start. I live in Austin, Texas, but I'm not from down here, so don't know much about the city or the quote unquote sex scene. So I know I couldn't just walk up to a random man and ask him if I could peg him. Do you have any suggestions or ideas on how to get into the sex world or even approaching meeting new people in that way? Of course, you brought up Daddy Dom to her 24 hours later. How would you suggest her bringing that up either with new partners or getting into a sex scene and maybe a place that's not New York?
It's like the main question that we get.
The main question. Yeah,
main one. And it's interesting because it's like we live in a new world full of technology. A quick Google search can send you on the right path pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I would say even if it's just partners that you have and they're more vanilla, just being honest about what you want. So let's start there with who you have access to right away. But, you know, there's resources like FetLife. You got Field out there. Or if you just meet new people, I think the main thing is being clear on what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understand like what kinks might you be into so you know how to communicate these to potential partners.
And Google is definitely a resource if you want to try the clubs or anything like that. But I would say before going to the club, maybe find a homegirl. If you say you're comfortable talking about sex, bring it up with one of your homegirls. And that was my introduction to the sex clubs. Like we went to the beach, they talked about it. And I don't think I would have ever been able to push myself to go by myself. Mm-hmm. So I brought a homegirl with me. And to me, that broke the ice real easy because we went like we were going to the club. Yeah.
Now, I want to just make a point really quick because I even said earlier, like we talk about the sex club so much and it's because where a lot of your sex has happened. But as someone that's had a lot of threesomes and was fucking a lot of girls with my ex, like I'm not really a sex club ain't for me.
How have your experiences unfolded? Because I've heard the show a lot and it seems like you just have very organic situations that unfold.
Yeah. It's funny because Mandy last week told us about a story in Mexico. Like that's a very me thing to happen. Like I had threesomes in Mexico, right? Like, I don't know. And I'm actually someone that likes apps. It's just for some reason, another person coming into my shit, like it just apps didn't really work for me. I've had a threesome off an app with Jeeves, but don't like sex clubs. And I think it's particularly because I don't feel like I can connect during sex. And some people can, like one of my friends was telling me a story, like she felt like nobody else was around. I don't think I can feel like
it's
that.
Amazing.
But that's just because I'm thinking too much about what's going on or like maybe a little too precautious. Even when I like did an episode about the sex club, like went in there, had a camera at NSFW and was like trying to meet people, like I just can't let go. But for me, the things have unfolded by just being able to go out and my partner making other women feel uncomfortable. Like, as much as he's a piece of shit, he is a really
making
fun...
them feel comfortable.
Huh?
Make him making them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they uncomfortable. Like oh I did?
Yeah.
He doesn't. I meant to say feel make them feel uncomfortable. I think with women that aren't sure if they want to have a threesome, it's either because the men have too much mask energy. Yeah. Yeah. They either get a little too bro-y almost or try to like be a guy in front of them and it's weird. And he's just a cool ass nigga. Like everybody wants to hang out with him and that's why they do. That's just, I would even describe like most of our friends, like me or you, like you're out and sometimes people just start finding you. He's one of those people.
Yeah.
He's not really an introvert. Like he's just the guy that people want to be around. And so what happens with that is women then feel like I'm not pressured into this. Sometimes I think when a guy isn't as smiley or friendly, because it's true, you should let your girl lead, but I want to feel welcomed by you too. And I think that that was the thing about his energy that made girls want to hang with us all the time.
Mm.
But also, I would say there was something particularly about him more than anyone else, which is why I think we kept having sex with women just around where we lived. He would immediately tell women that we wanted to fuck what we were doing that night. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, put it in their ear, right? Like, for example, last lap, we fucked a lot of girls out of last lap. So let's just say it was midnight. He'd be like, oh, what are you up to tonight? And then they'd tell him, he'd be like, oh, okay, well, we're going to go to Gold Bar, actually, like in an hour. You coming? All right, you fuck that. We all going together, we can fuck that. And they'd be like, okay. Yeah. And so like, he would almost make them a part of our plans. And I don't even know if he consciously did that. Or he would say something about food. You never had an empanada mama? Oh, no, we got to go. Now we're all fucking going to the next place. And it was little things like that. He would do it no matter what city we were in. Miami, New York, wherever. And I'm like, that's it. Now, and if a girl's not interested, they're like, oh, I'm going to stay with my homegirls. And other way, like, all right, I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And never were forceful. Like, we definitely had a girl come upstairs. Actually, my homegirl, Chanel. I don't know if anybody knows Chanel Lopez, but she is so fucking sexy. She used to live in New York. She lives in Miami. Now, she knows I ain't shit. She knows my ex ain't shit. I'm sure she knows we want to fuck. So we all go upstairs. We're just smoking and talking. We're all on the couch together. And she goes, I'm not ready for this, but I still want to hang out. And I was like, damn it.
She caught it, though. She caught the energy.
But we all laughed. He was like, no, we ain't going to try to do that. She's like, yes, she would. But anyway, and, you know, I think that's the thing, too, is knowing that a man's not going to make you feel bad. She knew that we'd be having threesomes, but, you know, I think also that room for letting someone feel like they don't have to do anything, because guys say that, but they don't mean it. Yeah. Now you chasing me around the bed for 3 hours when you said we were just going to cuddle. But
yeah.
Letting couples like being serious, like we're going to fuck regardless. Either you can fuck us or not. Sometimes people are too thirsty. When you got that too thirsty energy, like nobody wants it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that just setting the intention of what you're wanting and not going out with so much thirst. Just knowing, like, I'm a really hot sexual being and I'm just going to go out there and get some sex. I don't know how, I don't know who, but it's going to fucking happen.
Right.
And just, like, going and moving with that confidence, moving with that energy, it goes a long way. And then all of a sudden, like, people start, like, feeling it and just get drawn towards you.
You can't also, you're saying, like, having that intention, don't let the one night you go out and nothing happens be the thing. Like, sometimes you have to do your numbers.
Yeah, numbers thing.
It takes time and it takes that energy and it takes... I think just intention, just like moving and knowing exactly what your kinks are, what your desire is.
And nobody knows they're going to fuck you that night.
Yeah. Exactly.
Women aren't going out just like, I'm going to fuck a couple. Like,
yeah.
It's trickier that way because they might think, oh, I might fuck a dude tonight. But like a couple is different.
I know.
That's the challenge.
That's harder work.
I'm trying to learn how to navigate
that.
I'm trying to learn how to navigate.
Both of them comfortable. You have to make both of them want to fuck you. Yeah. You have to make both of them comfortable to where they're not going to argue about you being around.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a big thing with us. I am like, I'm going to admit, I am the bitch that is always tired. And we will bring someone home and I'll be like, all right, like the vibes are here, but I need a 10-minute nap.
Are you
I'm dead.
Are you kidding me?
Like, because I'm the it's embarrassing, I know.
You being a tired hoe.
I'm a tired hoe. Because what will happen, it's not that I'll just like, oh, I'm just a little tired. I'll just pass out. I'll just like slowly just stop. Like, stop.
I'm the opposite. So, I'm the opposite of that.
Are they allowed to have sex while you sleep?
Yes.
They always freak out though.
But I join them first.
He said they always freak out.
No, they always be like, they'd be like, are you sure it's okay?
You got to start with them first. And then, so what I do is, once I get everybody comfortable, I'll be like, all right, y'all have fun. I've gone to the couch and went to sleep and let them keep
So I've done that as well.
Oh, no, I've done it
after. No, because what I do, what I do is I end up just saying like, okay, I'm going to, I hold to it. I'll take a 10 minute nap and I'll be right back. Girl. And sometimes I come back and they're fucking. Sometimes they're still talking. Like either way I'm joining and something's going to happen.
Girl, you got to take a nap after, bitch. I need you to join and then leave.
I will literally like, no, a treadmill.
It's part of a, it's part of a thing I expected at this point.
Yeah. And I always prep. And I do preface it. And I do say like it's completely cool. Like this is okay.
They never like, believe you. They, after you go to the bed, but. They okay? know it's about to go. He's like, is it okay? Are you sure it's okay?
Yeah. Like one of our partners now, they ended up having sex with him while I was sleeping, like the first time we
on
met.
On the washing machine.
Wow. Yeah, on the same washing machine. 22.
Was it a 22 lucky washing machine?
Yes. But yeah, they were like freaking out. And it was so funny because they had some bomb sex. Apparently they were loud. I was knocked the fuck out. And I like come back out and they're like, they got dressed and they're on the couch. If they didn't tell me they fucked, I would have never known.
Wow.
And I was just, and they like ended up like leaving like soon after. And I was like, damn, we missed sexy time. He's like, actually. And I was like, oh, fuck, I miss sexy time. But I can't even get mad. I'm tired, bitch.
That's really cute.
That's amazing that you're just like, well, damn, next time I'll join.
You know what, though? Like that kind of thought to me, you have to, a lot of people may not feel that. And I also don't want to like push on someone's insecurities here. But I will just say this is like an 80-20 situation where 80% of the time when you're that type of person, there's a real trust there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of time people are having sex with someone that you're like, would you fuck her behind my back? And you're not sure. And your partner maybe doesn't make you feel like you can completely trust them. That's a real trustworthy thing. Like my ex and I, like I wasn't bothered that if he would do that. I don't know if he ever did. Maybe him and did a little bit there fucking around, but like that doesn't bother me. And I know a lot of people may think it is, but it's like, if I brought someone in here, like I already know you're my nigga. You know what I mean? Like
it's not going to change.
And once you're open. But that, to me, is a complete trustworthy situation.
Yeah, and I trust him fully, not just to respect me and whatever my boundaries may be in that situation, but to also treat that person with respect and to treat them safely. Like, I trust him fully with myself and with that person.
That's one of my big things.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with niggas that don't make girls feel safe.
Yeah, absolutely not. It's not hot.
It's priority.
And it's fucking embarrassing.
It is. Yo, I would, like, literally, he would knock out after fucking, almost kick him. Like, get the Uber for her now.
Yeah, we do a whole thing. Like, when somebody comes through, especially the first time, we lay it all out. We definitely focus on them. And it's like, we want that experience to be all about them. You know, so we cater to them, whether it's something that we're doing specifically in the bedroom. We make sure we bring out the toys that they want.
I haven't fucked a couple in years. Maybe
that's so crazy that you're saying that. Because outside of the food and drinks, I feel like I was spoiling both the couple that I was just with. Maybe because I'm just so used to being in charge.
Mm.
I felt like I was...
So boiling the couple?
Spoiling both of them.
I don't know if I could do that.
I would like to experience that.
I was spoiling both of them. Like, I would, like, kiss her, massage her, but I was like, do y'all want anything? Like, I was...
See, I feel like my pussy is good and they should be grateful. And I give really good head.
I'm not mad at that, yeah.
I'm a really good, like, threesome teammate. So I just kind of feel like, nigga, I ain't got a man to go home to. So y'all need to be doing some shit for me.
Yeah, I feel like it's so important to us to just, like, make that person feel sexy. Like, we want to know, like, what are your desires?
Wait, what are your rules? Are you allowed to cuddle, kiss?
Yeah.
Sleep over?
See, maybe that's why I knew I was their first time. I wasn't going to expect them to spoil. They'd never been with another woman together.
Mm, that makes
sense. So to me, I felt like I was teaching them the lay of the land.
Oh, there's one rule for anyone who's never been with a woman together. Men and women, take them on a date. Just think date. Opening doors, chivalrous thing.
Yeah.
Date to date.
Makes a difference.
That's it.
Yeah. And that's maybe why you don't do the sex club thing. I don't want to take a bitch on a date, which is why I like fucking people in the sex club.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to talk to you.
But
I don't
like invite a lot of people to your house.
My friends fuck me. I don't meet girls out. I bring my friends into my bedroom. Otherwise, I prefer having sex with someone that we don't have to court. We might share from fucking shrooms. We fuck and then we go home. I don't like the courting aspect, which now makes sense why you enjoy going on dates with
women. Well, you got courted, though.
That was the first time.
Yeah, I mean, but you know how nice it is.
I got courted with food and drinks, but I was doing the spoiling to both of them. Like, I don't know.
So you've never had
my experience was different, yeah.
Would you say we're in the middle then? Because I think at first it was all about the sex. And so we were just inviting people over. We're going to just, you know, do the
thing. We had our own, like, couples hoe phase, and then after a while we're like, we want to settle, have some partners.
We want more now.
I got there too. Sometimes it can feel empty.
Yeah.
I got there too, but now it makes sense. I see the differences here.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and let everyone know where they can listen to your pod.
Yes.
And where they can find you.
Our brand new baby, we're very excited to bring it to the people. You can check us out on all podcast streaming platforms at Both Sides of the Bed, and on YouTube. And you can also check us out individually. We love the comments. We love hearing stories. Absolutely.
And so y'all are taking people to slide in your DMs to join y'all in the bedroom as well?
I mean, try it.
I'm looking forward to that first slide. We haven't got our first slide yet. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
We also just launched our website. So it's bothsidesofthebed.tv. And if you want some sex and relationships coaching with B, then it's at beintimate.com.
And as open and trustworthy as you are, I feel like they might need you, girl.
Yes.
Y'all come check me out here in New York at WTF Media. Come check me out in LA. We're in Hollywood. Come meet our new staff. And check out Sex Sells every Wednesday at 11 o'clock or on the Fuse app. There's a bunch of episodes. I don't know when ours is coming out, but I watched it. It was really funny.
Okay.
People I feel like are going to be surprised with like how open we got about work. Like it's a really dope episode. Like it's one of my favorites. It's not the nastiest Sex Sells episode. I mean, I literally get naked in one of them, but like the one that we did, it's really cool. It's dope. It's very businessy.
Well, I'm excited. Guys, y'all know for me, you can catch me on my other podcast every Tuesday and every Friday. See the Thing Is with Bridget Kelly. I'm excited because Horrible Decisions will be filming out of Full Court Studios soon. So you guys will be able to book very, very shortly, if not this week, honestly. And then next month, Date My Playlist on MTV airs where I'm hosting a fucking dating show. So check out Date My Playlist. It is coming to you soon. And outside of that, Horrible Decisions will be live at the Black Effect Podcast Festival, August the 28th. Get your tickets now at blackeffect.com/podcast festival. We're going to be there with 85 South, All the Smoke, all of your favorite pods on the Black Effect Network. So go ahead and get your tickets now. You guys may hear an ad in the beginning of this episode. We are also doing Envision Festival, which is also here in Brooklyn. We'll let you know more details about that as well. And if you haven't yet, join us on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/horrible decisions, where we drop a bonus episode every motherfucking week. So check us out there. Again, that's patreon.com/horrible decisions. We're leaving you with a 5-minute bonus clip. Amir and Basira, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thanks, guys.
Y'all check out Both Sides of the Bed podcast.
Thank you.
And again, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye. It's bonus, bitches. Welcome to another cinema episode. Alexa, shut your ass up. Boom. That's how I talk to her.
I just got an Alexa, and that should be making me feel like the bitch is stalking me. Like, I get worried about you. That is my first Alexa.
Really?
I don't like
it. It's weird because I have two in my house, a Siri in my bathroom, and then I got my man one for his car. But he's old, so he just feel like he don't want nobody watching him. And I'm just like, nigga, you not a criminal. They don't
care about
you.
That's how I just felt. But fucking Lambo scared me.
They don't care about us. They just tell us the weather and play our tunes. That's all they do.
Lambo made me unplug it. I wanted to play some Brent Faiyaz and fuck. And I was like, Alexa, play Brent Faiyaz. He was like, whoa. When the fuck that shit got on?
Now, you knew you was going to activate her ass, bro.
Alexa, stop.
Alexa, stop.
Nothing. Bitch. Alexa, turn it off. Bitch. I swear I know she's going to hear me.
You already knew she was going to hear. That's why he said he ain't want her around, because they hear everything. You have to call them they and them, okay?
Nigga, I said, fine. Okay, I'll turn it off. He's like, play it on your phone. So then I start playing it on my phone, but I Chromecast it to the TV. And then he was like, I thought your TV had internet. Why you putting shit up on the TV now and it's talking? Like, I don't like this shit. And I was like, nigga, what the fuck? Mandy, he's not even that old. Like, this is how you know you've been in the system too long. Like, it's crazy as fuck to me. Also, update. I told Old Bay 2 weeks ago, you guys probably heard me say that Lambo was going to get me a car. I called Old Bay right after that episode. I was like, you know Kodak Black? Because that's what he called him. He said, yeah, what's up? I was like, that nigga want to get me a car and pay my rent. And he just was silent. And I was like, what? And he said, okay, Gila, what do you want me to say? I was like, I just want you to tell me whether you think that's crazy.
No, and his answer to that was saying, I know you're going to do what you want to do regardless. That's what that response was giving.
Do you want me to pick you up in a nice car when you visit LA or what, babe? That's really what it is. That's really like the real question. So
how did you respond to that? Like, if he said, what do you want me to say? Like,
What type of response did you expect him to have?
I was like, you know what kind of car I want. And that car is like $2,500 a month. Like, is that really going to fucking drive you crazy? And he was just like, it's what you want to do, Gila. So
it's giving. I can't tell you what to do. No, it's given that, but also I can't tell you what to do.
I mean, which I appreciate. But I also feel like if he called me like and was like, this bitch wants to fucking buy X, Y, and Z for me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you would have a fucking fit.
Yeah, I would. But, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I feel like the worst of it all was saying that I accidentally fucked him raw. Like, that was the real fucking embarrassing thing to call my nigga with. Which, to be honest, Mandy, he was so appreciative that I said it without, like, trying to bullshit around it when I came home. You know what I'm saying? And I feel right. like I would have been the same way. Like, when I really thought about it, I thought that nigga was going to be like, bitch, are you out of your mind? But if he called me, he was like, yo, I fucked this bitch.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Mistakes happen, but a nigga paying your rent and getting you a car, that's more like a relationship.
Which is why I'm worried, because I don't want him to think he can just take the condom off, bitch.
Bitch, if a nigga buys you a car and pays your rent, he's not fucking you with a condom ever.
Okay. Well, that's
really you know this.
I can't do it. Damn. I wish I could just fuck the both of them like that, but... you know, I mean, it kind of sucks, but whatever. Anyway, yeah, that conversation was a little bit uncomfortable. And I think that also Lambo, like, doesn't really, like, understand Old Bay because he doesn't really... I just don't think he gets it. Like, I think he thinks this is some relationship off of TV, or, like, he thinks it's not, like, a real thing. Like, he doesn't really maybe understand the openness because he's very, like, if you my bitch, you can't fuck nobody type of nigga. But I'm having fun with him right now, and I don't want it to end. So who knows? It could blow up in my face. One of his baby mamas could fly here and kill me. There's also that. That's a big opportunity for that to happen. Because them hoes damn show. One of them, what was I going to say? Hit him up and was like, this bitch talking about you on her podcast. And started like blowing up. She was like, who the fuck else got a Lambo? A nigga. Duh. So, I mean, there's always that. You know. Who knows? Hopefully they don't come get both of us.
Bitch, we gonna take this shit back to the gold star lesbian.
To the model. I thought about her.
Bitch, nothing that happens with you. They ain't coming for us, bitch. They coming for you.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.